said you thought the industry was doing a pretty good job in keeping its food safety programs sort of top shelf, but specifically concerning E. coli, what is your assessment? Give the industry a grade on that and what you would recommend that it do additionally.
Well, I'm going to give the industry a B+. And we have some quizzes yet to come, you know, so the industry can raise their grade, you know, toward the end of the term. Mm-hmm. The NCBA has done a terrific job of marshaling resources and getting best practices out there. And the reason that the grade's not higher for the whole industry is that, frankly, most of the progressive people have done a very good job of moving these 0157 programs and improvements along. But the industry has some people that have not embraced those kinds of things. And, you know, you're as a commodity, as an industry, you're only as strong as your lowest performers to some extent. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where Patrick Boyle's point was on finished product sampling, that if you know, it ought to be a requirement that if you're going to be in this line of the business, that you do X amount of things. I mean, he was pretty adamant about it. Mm-hmm. And I think he's right, because, you know, if people continue to not follow these best practices, we're going to continue to have 0157 issues. And to me, and here's where this is the kind of stuff that makes me nuts, because we have the technology today, okay? We know how to largely control this. It's not totally preclusive, you know, if you want to talk about cold pasteurization or irradiation or some such thing, you know, there are preclusive treatments, but let's just talk about ground beef as we know it. We have the capabilities today to control 0157 to a huge extent. You just got to use them. So it's not a technical problem. It's a philosophical force of will issue. Mm-hmm. And I'll use an analogy here for you, Barbara, that maybe needs to be thought through with the industry. If you and I decided we were going to build a car today, and we started from scratch, and it looked really great, but you and I built it to 1962 safety standards. Okay? Would they let us sell that to the public?
No.
No. And why is that? It's because there's all these new safety things that make cars better, and it would endanger people if we didn't use those things, right?
Right.
Well, what about food? If why should we be using 1962 or 1970 standards when you have the capability to do it today? And here's where regulations, I don't want people to be overregulated, but if you know that this is something that can almost preclude this problem, I don't care if you've done it this way for 50 years, that ought to be the new requirement. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's one of the things that kind of makes me nuts. Now, I will tell you that I know personally that there's some a fair amount of angst in the beef industry about this matter. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, everyone gets painted with the same brush when there's a problem.
Right.
It's a beef problem. And so, you know, the NCBA or even AMI or National Meat Association, you know, they don't have any regulatory authority to say, members, you have to do this. But that all of them have been strongly encouraging their membership to do that. But you know what? Usually the guys that are the last people to follow, they don't go to those meetings anyway.
Right.
And that's where, you know, you need to put regulations in place if, in fact, you can do that. I know that the beef industry, I've been in touch with Bill Reagan and the folks over at NCBA. They're continuing the Beef Industry Food Safety Council, that, you know, they continue to evolve their best practices. There's lots of new work going on with vaccines and pre-harvest interventions. Mm-hmm. And I think that the beef industry is going to get their hands around this 0157 issue, and hopefully some of the things that we find with this, whether it's vaccines or other, you know, animal raising practices or some such things, will be tools that we can use, because, you know, inevitably there will be other pathogens to follow.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that the beef industry should do something more aggressive or proactive as it relates to using irradiation?
Well, I think they've done almost everything they can.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, they've done the background work, they've proved its efficacy, they've, you know, done that, and I'm not too sure what the next steps are on that. You know, at this stage, there are a few small technical hurdles, you know, about really around organoleptic quality.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more a consumer acceptance kind of thing.
Right.
Now, interestingly enough, there's, you know, several people that are have irradiated patties out there today, and that are happily chatting about it. I'm very proud of the beef people and appreciative of what they've done, and that, you know, they have been very supportive of the changes that, you know, that we have made and have helped us to do. So I've treasured the opportunity to work with those people and be a part of that to try to help make the industry better.